you big thinkers, you.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hello, you big thinkers, you.
That was for
Jimmy. Those of you that don't know, you might not know, that's Bullwinkle.
I guess you're right.
From Bullwinkle and Sprocket or whatever the hell
Rocky the Flying Rocky. Squirrel.
Yeah, Bullwinkle and Rocky.
Rocket J. Squirrel. You didn't care for that cartoon?
Lousy cartoon.
When's the last time you watched it? Because it's written with an adult spin.
Certainly not as soon as you did. I mean, I know you probably watched it an hour ago, right before we came on the show.
No, but I did buy the DVDs when they came out. And it really is written. I mean, it's a cartoon.
You'll pot in the absence of light. Sorry, let me take these off.
But I think, you know, we all watched it as kids because it was a cartoon. I mean, we automatically thought animation was for us. But after watching it older, it's funnier for grown-ups, I think. I think it was really written with a grown-up sort of lookout.
Never looked back, so I don't know whether that's true or
and
not.
And that's a shame because you actually met June Foray. She came in and did Rocky the Squirrel voice in studio with you. That's incredible.
Wow. I don't remember.
And she did Natasha as well. I was always so jealous of that. And you don't even remember.
No, I really didn't care. Didn't care a lot.
I'm sure you loved the live-action version with Robert De Niro.
Dave Thomas.
That's right. That's old.
That's right. A no good.
Yeah, that was an old one.
Probably 30 years ago.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The cartoons that were like cartoons to me were A-list cartoons, B-list cartoons, and then C-list cartoons. The A-list cartoons were like Looney Tunes.
Of course. Anything with bugs in it. Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
And Bugs Bunny, that type of thing. The B-list cartoons would have been like Tomcat.
Oh, okay.
Top Cat.
Tomcat was the dirty cartoon.
Tomcat. No, Fritz the Cat was the dirty
cartoon. He was dirty. Yeah. So Tomcat
was the
like,
X-rated the cartoon.
The Hanna-Barbera stuff, like you have your Top Cat, and I mean, even later on, you would do like Hong Kong Phooey, the Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan. All of those Saturday morning cartoons were second tier. I think third tier takes you to like religious cartoons and like Davy and Goliath.
That's claymation. That's like a Gumby type thing.
Davy and Goliath was Davy. Yeah. We got a lot of that up in my market.
I think they're third tier, but you watched them because right. They were cartoons. There wasn't as much to watch.
Josh, since you're new to the party here, did you remember, are you old enough to have had local kids programming on the station? Rob had Captain 20.
Oh, yeah, the host was Captain 20. He was an astronaut.
I actually went on the Ranger Andy show in Hartford, Connecticut.
Can you show me, Mike? I don't ask this often, but can you show me on the doll where Ranger Andy touched you?
No. What happened was Linda Katz, who lived two doors down from me, daughter of Ruth and Harvey Katz,
Harvey Katz.
The camera does a pan on the audience of the kids' show, the Ranger Andy show.
Yeah.
And right as they panned, it showed Linda sticking her tongue out at me, which I remember.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, my mom told me that because we didn't have video in those days.
And they weren't saving the Ranger Andy stuff in archives, so it was gone to the ether as soon as she did it.
I have a show trivia question for Rob Spiewak.
Shoot.
There is a nationwide children's television show star that was that my father was friends with. Can you guess who it is?
I can't. And you know what? I know some of your father's friends or encounters.
Before my father
famous-
went into the advertising business, and before I don't know, it was post World War II or pre World. I think it was pre World War II. My father was a page at NBC.
And then he
worked for an advertising agency in New York City.
All I can guess for NBC would be maybe Buffalo Bob Smith.
No, because it was he knew the children's TV star before he became a children's TV star. He went on. There were two famous people my dad knew well who went on to be big stars.
Okay.
One of them was a musical theater star, and the other one was a kids' TV show
star. Everyone knows that he put up Joel Grey for years in your house.
No, that's not
true. Who was the musical theater star in all seriousness?
Musical theater star was in a movie version of a Broadway hit called Oklahoma, and the movie star was Gordon McRae.
I had no idea. I know you love the musical. I didn't know your father knew Gordon McRae.
My father knew he was a page at NBC.
This Gordon McRae, 100 years ago.
The other page for children's TV shows was, I'll give you one hint, he was not the number one guy on the same show. He was famous.
Number two guy, so a sidekick. Wouldn't it be Regis? Regis was a sidekick.
I'm not talking about a kid. This is a kid's show.
Okay, well, I'm
this just thinking, is a children's, is it, and this is the definitive children's TV show of the era.
Are we going Sesame Street?
No, not that modern. Not that
Bozo?
Okay.
No, not that old.
So in the middle. Wonderama?
Ran for years and years and years. Iconic.
Nationwide.
Everybody. Yes.
Oh, so CBS guy.
Yes.
Bob Keeshan, his sidekick. So your dad was buddy with Green Jeans?
Was Mr. Green Jeans. My dad was friends with Mr. Green
Jeans. The friendly yet alcoholic Mr. Green Jeans.
Was he? I don't know. I never read the history.
I don't know either.
I don't even know the guy's real name, but he was a nice guy. Tall, kind of lanky guy.
I know that CBS treated Kangaroo the same way they treated Letterman. And the day after, they wrapped Captain Kangaroo. Someone saw a grandfather clock, the huge prop of the grandfather clock, in a dumpster outside of CBS.
That would have made you cry, you froze up on us a little. That's weird. Okay.
I would love to have grandfather clock, yeah.
Do you know who the local guy was for Baltimore?
Let me do it, because you get them all. I think I know. It is a seafarer theme, right? Isn't it a seafarer?
It is.
His sidekick was a sea monster, Mike.
Hold on. Oh, my God. Captain Chesapeake.
Captain Chesapeake.
Yes. You're old enough to remember Captain Chesapeake.
I remember Captain Chesapeake. And then at some point in my childhood, we got cable. So then it all became Bozo.
Okay, this is great. They're doing it without asking. I was going to ask them, the in your market commenters, please share. We've got one from San Francisco Bay Area, Captain Cosmic. That's the Captain Chesapeake theme, right?
Took me forever to discover it was a record that came out at 33 RPM that Channel 45 recorded at 45.
Right.
That's why it's a faster version of it. But this
all right,
is the
Romper Room. Was Romper Room nationwide?
I think so.
Romper Room was a syndicate. It started as syndicated.
You're
going
to have
property.
To reboot, Rob. You're going to have to reboot yourself. You're going to have to duck out.
Something's going on.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. But yeah, I'll be back in a moment with tales of Romper Room.
Now, Rosley Relaford, Rosley, please mention the market that Sailor Bob was in. They all had them.
Everyone had them.
Everybody had them. If Hartford, Connecticut had one,
Sailor Bob was Richmond, Virginia.
Bob, Richmond, Virginia. See, that's when you're talking about that. DC had Captain 20.
Let's see. He didn't last as long. He was just 50s through 70s.
Who's that?
Sailor Bob.
Sailor Bob, and that was in Richmond. Let's see. Well, I don't know what that one is. That's, let's see. Somebody was writing a little too fast on that particular one. The thing about, I was 10 minutes in a suburb called Glastonbury, Connecticut, outside of Hartford, and we all went to, I think it was Linda Katz's birthday party was at the Ranger Andy show, and you would go in and you actually would participate in a regular local television show. One of the sad things that no longer exists because of how fragmented we are. We have much more product out there for kids and everything else, but we don't have the ability for towns all over a metropolis to focus on one particular show, which is kind of sad to me.
It's the same thing that happened to radio. where everything's now syndicated and you don't have your local DJs.
Yeah, but in the same, because of the internet, you have things like this where we have a niche. And I don't know, I feel as though having done this as long as I have done it, I would be much more uptight if it was the radio thing where, you know, I don't know, I feel a freedom here that I wouldn't feel necessarily if I was doing, you know, nationally syndicated radio anymore. And that's just the way I feel about it. It's also why guys like Marc Maron can retire and, you know, talk about the fact that he had nothing more to give. I have lots more to give because I have light bulbs to turn on in the house. That's the way I always look at this. That's the reason you see me here. But I also have grown into finding it therapeutic, like Rob did yesterday, to come in here when you have a particular level of angst. And since the subject of angst, Mr. Toot and Captain Q. Wow.
That's a local name.
Toot? I wonder if that was a fart joke. I have no idea whether it was or not.
I'm sure, but here is a picture I found of Sailor Bob.
Sailor Bob from Richmond. Oh, dear. There we go. Doesn't he look like a nice guy? The kid on both these children look like perhaps they're related. They have the same kind of eyes,
They also look like they're going to grow up to be serial killers.
They do. They look very, very uncomfortable. That is very strange.
They did not want to be there.
Wow. Mr. Toot in Philly. We have, you did not have Captain Rectum. You did not. Ernesto, that is, they're at it again. I have been very close to the comments this week. They're very nice. Thank you for joining us on our feed and participating. We would love a super chat if you get one. That would be wonderful to keep the show chugging along. Those are always welcome. But Josh, what is the process, just in case people want to join the chat right now and they're listening to
YouTube.
Us or watching
us? You can chat on Facebook, but YouTube is where we've see the most people gather and have their own conversations among each other. But head on over to YouTube.
Yeah, just put Mike O'Mara Show on YouTube in your search engine. Hop on there, and while you're on our live video feed on YouTube, you can give us a super chat. That would be much appreciated. Let me see. Bill O'Reilly worked on Hatchie Malachi, the Hatchie Malachi Show. Once again, I would love to know, Quinn, where that is. That's what I would love to know. I would like to. Rob, are you okay? Everything okay technically with you?
I think so.
I think the guy that came and fixed your internet was Mr. Toot.
It could have been. Mr. Toot. There we go. Mr. Toot.
Look at the beautiful set, too. And that's, corkboard.
But just realize, Duluth, Minnesota. That's how small some of these markets are with actual Commander Stu Kerr. In Baltimore.
I've heard of Stu Kerr. I think he was also he did a dance show, a Hullabaloo type show.
Was that pre Captain Chesapeake? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, did Mike, you mention his name again? Here's the actual theme from 1982, pulled from the WBFF airwaves.
Yeah, you started playing that before. Yeah. Captain Chesapeake. They all had their little themes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
I share a great story about Mr. Dick Dizel, also known as Captain 20?
Sure.
Count Gore Duvall. He was also a horror host who was great on Channel 20 here in D.C.
Right.
But he did an afternoon show, and I remember clearly because I was in fifth grade. And is there any age that you want to be cooler than everything else than fifth grade? I don't think so. It's where you're really
sixth grade.
But it's that range where you really, you're not a kid anymore, right?
Yeah, sixth grade to me, with my personal.
Sixth grade's the worst.
Sixth grade, we're both experiencing it right now, Robin. It's when they start to, fade away.
Okay.
That's when they start to go away.
Yeah. It's what ninth grade, I think, was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I agree. You're feeling your oats, as my mom would say.
In that region, we had our classrooms were surrounded by a pod, which was like a multi-purpose area, like a big room.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other fifth grade teacher, Mr. Watson, wrote an original play, and they performed it out in the pod area. And we're coming back from music class. And what we didn't realize is that he had called Captain 20 to come look at the play to see if they would put it on Channel 20.
Okay.
Now, the whole thing was based on the fact that we were all in a line.
Isn't that great, though? Isn't that great? You, like, put a phone call in to the local TV station and say, come out and look at my kids. See if this would be worth going on television.
And they did put it on TV.
That never happened today.
They put it on TV, which was amazing. But what was amazing to me is all 30 of us in our line coming back from music class all walked right by Captain 20, who had all been part of our lives since we were like...
So he was immediately recognized.
Of course. I mean, he predated us by...
Nobody more excited than you, I would imagine.
And we start, and oh, Mike, you're going to love because I get to bring up her name again. Mrs. Weary, our teacher, we asked Mrs. Weary, please go ask Captain 20 to come in and talk to us. We'd love to meet Captain 20.
Right.
And she said, he's a very busy man.
And she was weary of your question.
She was, but she went out and Dick Dizel, who played him, came in and probably did about an 80-minute talk with us and answered all our...
80 minutes?
He stayed forever, answered all our questions.
He hasn't had attention in a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he answered all of our questions about TV, about all the production elements and all the things they show on Channel 20.
I just wanted to jump in here and say Wallace and Ladmo in Phoenix. Is that Wallace?
That's Wallace and Ladmo. Okay. Wow.
That looks like maybe a lot of weed before they...
I was going to say, it looks like maybe they might have been found on local news.
Wallace and Ladmo.
He was great and also inspirational. I know he showed up to your morning show in full Gore Duvall makeup as a vampire, early in the morning.
Because we were local, and even while we were syndicated, we would do something as an homage to the DC market back in the day. And those are sunny days where you could turn on and it's not possible anymore with people the way they get their entertainment now. It's just you can't do it anymore. It's tough.
And as a button on this story is one of the things that Captain 20 would do in the afternoon show was gerbil races, and each gerbil was named after one of their shows. Like there would be a.
I'll tell you when you want to talk about mining that for comedy gold, that was several decades. That was at least a decade and a half of mining the gerbil races of all the little things. Right around that was like premier Richard Gere territory there. Yes.
Mike, there was a Addams Family gerbil and a Bugs Bunny gerbil. They were all named after the shows. Well, one time, my Uncle Bruce, who you've met, he's passed now, but he came out to a couple of our live shows. He was running with bad company and ended up in a jail one day. And he was in the tank with a bunch of other felons. And the only thing on TV was Channel 20. And the felons were all betting real money on the gerbil races.
Because
the TV was on. And,
so you would get the kids in suburbia. You would get people felons. in the local jail. How spectacular is that?
Bruce said, of all the things he's done, that was the thing that scared him the most. Was the crooks betting on gerbils?
Oh my God!
I mean, Bruce.
Bruce, safe travels, Bruce. And of course, I think every one of them probably had at the conclusion of the show. You got sugary snacks.
Of course.
They all gave you a little gift bag, right, where you had a little goodie bag to take away.
If
that was
producing, I would give the sugary snacks before to get them all out of control, and then they can crash on the ride home.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up.
Yeah.
And I want to get to some AI talk, but I don't know if we'll get it today because we went off on this tangent. But when you talk about a sixth grader, Josh, when you put anything into your son sugary, do you notice an immediate reaction, like a drug high almost?
We have certain foods like Skittles that we try to avoid.
Last night I noticed my kid, he asked for a trip to 7-Eleven. After baseball practice. Now, it's a two-hour baseball practice.
Wanted a tall boy?
It was run, run, run. I mean, I'm talking running the whole time. They were base running, and they were running laps, and they were running speed drills in the infield. The kid was definitely running a lot. And what did he get at 7-Eleven? He got Swedish fish.
Great, great candy.
And there was one other thing. It was something else of a sugary nature.
Was it tart?
No, I forgot
like
what it was.
Sour Patch Kids?
It was just the candy was in addition to the sugary snack that he got as well. And by the time we were 5 minutes into the drive, he was off the wall. I could not get him out of the car fast enough. It was nuts.
Well, it had to be a combination of remaining adrenaline and sugar.
Well, yes. We find it's some of the dyes instead of the sugar.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean the dyes caused the manic behavior?
Yeah, like I said, Skittles has red dye something, some number.
Red dye number two.
I think it's like number five or something.
Number five.
But I think that's the one we trigger where we check labels and try to avoid that.
Right.
And we were able to get Skittles at the Asian market that did not have that, and he was fine.
But after he ate those Skittles.
Wait, hold on, Rob.
All right.
How do you find Skittles at an Asian? Do you seek them out? Do you see this online?
Remember a couple weeks ago I shared about a new big supermarket that opened up that was an Asian supermarket.
And you were fascinated by it.
Yeah, well, I love candy, as you know. So we went there, and I specifically got Skittles because the first discovery was in Europe, where I got a bag of Skittles because I love Skittles, and they did not have that red dye, so we tried it on him there.
So this is dye-free. Are you telling me that the Skittles in the United States are painted bright and vibrant colors because we have a shorter attention span in the United States?
Oh, like Domino's pizza. Make the colors brighter. Pizza tastes better.
No, it's poisons that are in there to try to make kids addicted to it.
Wow.
Now, is Skittles going to be affected by the upcoming ban on artificial colors? Where they're going to?
Everyone
are affected.
Is.
Okay.
I know not of these rules that are being implemented.
If you look, it's part of the whole RFK Make America Healthy Again.
Okay.
So you'll see, like, it seems like once a week there's another snack food company announcing, all right, we're now cleaned up our product so it matches. And what it does is it gets rid of these artificial dyes.
One of the rare moments I will give a salute to, and I'm going to piss people off, but if he's removing that stuff from candy, that I say more power to him on that.
But the weird thing is he's taking all of those dyes that aren't being used and putting them in his face.
Well, what stood out to me with those dyes is after learning more about it on the Europe trip, is that it's only in America. The rest of the countries have banned these things years and years ago.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we keep them because of the powerful food lobby that we have.
Yeah, and it's probably why we're the fattest country in the world.
Right. Let's see. Oakland, California had Charlie and Humphrey. Charlie and Humphrey. That's Charlie.
I'm Humphrey.
Hey, you know it, everybody.
Has no one fought that? They were an angry kid show.
Wow. So I had no idea. Well, that's a good thing.
Do you know
that they're removing that? Right?
The worst candy experience we always had, and we never learned from it. We didn't have a lot of candy in the house growing up for the kids, but on Easter, we'd go out of our minds. And so they'd get their huge Easter baskets, and they'd be into the Peeps and the chocolate and the jelly beans. And then we'd have to go to church, and they would be uncontrollable at church because they're just fueled by that sugar first thing in the morning. And we should have learned from this.
It's killing me to get the second food item that my kid got. I am just it had to be some kind of beverage.
Is it like a cupcake? It wasn't candy?
No, I think he got the Swedish fish and then he had a drink.
Oh, did he trick you with the Mountain Dew again?
Or was it an energy
Mountain
drink?
And say it's not Mountain Dew.
No, but it's like it is so immediate. And I suppose when you're calorie depleted and you've been running for 2 hours straight, it even gets into the bloodstream quicker. And Carla's killing me over it. She's saying play, and she's absolutely right. A lot of these kids, you know, all you have to do is go to a little league practice and watch them run down the first base line. And some of them run seriously, like you would have B. Arthur in later in life running down the first base line. You know, I mean,
don't tag me out.
Yeah, it's only later in life that you see these, you know, professional athletes or college athletes get into even the high school athletes, you know, get into this in spectacular condition because the information's there to allow them to do that, and they know what to put in their bodies.
Is there a lot of candy at the Old Timers League, Josh?
A lot of, you know what I see the guys pass around in the dugout?
What?
Icy Hot. Icy Hot going around.
That stinks. Yeah. That stinks so bad.
The one guy will roll it on, and then he'll pass it to the next guy to roll on too.
That's a little gross, as a matter of fact. I think it is. Yeah.
So getting back to the practice last night, Michael shares with two of his. They're doing a drill where they gather behind home plate and they have to run out a base hit, then they have to run out a double. And it has nothing to do with baseball, because I know I've been baseball heavy with practice, but I'm just talking about the reaction of kids. And Michael has nothing to do with me when I'm watching his practice, nothing. And suddenly he goes, "Dad, Dad." And I'm like, "What? What?" He said, "Tell him, go ahead." I said, "Tell them what?" And they're all looking at me, and this is the way they're looking.
You're
at
a celebrity.
Me. And they're looking at me like this.
Oh, they're just waiting for something to happen. They're
and
very
what it
expected.
Was is, tell them, I said, "What? How old are you, Dad?" I said, "I'm 66. And one of the kids, after I tell him that, does this look, goes, "Ah!" That's one of the looks that we had. Like I'm a true oddity. Because these kids just aren't exposed outside of grandpa.
That came up in conversation while they're doing a drill.
Absolutely. And the one kid, Jeremy, great pitcher. Love you, Jeremy. Yeah. Is looking at me like I might as well have been dropped off from Mars right there. And meanwhile, I got the my Hispanic buddies in back of me, for my Colombian family that has adopted me, who are, you know, I think that here's how I know. That I'm accepted in this family. Mm-hmm. I am accepted in this family because I sit there with all of them and I don't speak a word of Spanish, and I sit there comfortably and they are going a mile a minute. And I just sit there. We exchange a little information. Then I sit there and I relax and
but
I'm
you
fine.
But you never tell them your age. That's the problem.
I don't tell them my age, and I leave the other, you know, the White Devils over on the other side to just hang out and, you know, talk about, you know, the drop size on a baseball bat, I don't want to have anything.
But the second part of that conversation is going to be fun.
What's
that? Those kids that are shocked by your age are then riding in home on the way from practice to tell their parents, guess how old Michael's dad is?
Oh, it's going to get around.
Here's the thing, though. I believe that I got out of one of them something like, "No, you're not." Like, I got a disbelief, which is, to me, a win. That
in which
I
direction?
It depends on what is...
No, wrong, wrong. I believe that there are many things I can criticize about myself. Certainly, I am a self-deprecating individual. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I will say is that both my mom and my dad did not necessarily look their age. They did not look their age. You
in
know
which
that
way?
You can say it, they didn't. They looked younger than their actual
and
age.
And that's rare for their generation.
My sister Kathy does not look like a woman in her 70s.
And I think you've got some of that, too.
And I don't think, the only real tell, you know, and that guy that's the 70-year-old weightlifter actor that was in the Drum movie, you know.
Drumline? Not Drumline.
No, the one where the jazz drummer.
Oh,
the one
J.K. Not my
Simmons.
Tempo.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons, you know.
Milton Berle.
And also in the movie. Do you know the name of the movie about the drummer?
I don't.
It's Whiplash, right?
Whiplash.
Ah, thank you.
He's so addled, he would never get that.
He'll get Captain 20,
but he won't get anything modern.
That looks older than he is.
He does.
Isn't Whiplash the movie about the skaters, the roller derby? Because there was a roller derby movie, too.
Maybe I've got the name wrong.
No, Whiplash is the movie. Whiplash is the movie about J.K. Simmons as the sadistic band leader. He has a little of the gobble gobble. If you look at J.K.
Simmons.
The
roller derby movie is Whip It.
Okay, thank you.
A very, very popular song in the 80s.
Yeah, your favorite.
By Devo.
Yes, you always played it.
Whip It good. Where the hell was I? I got sidetracked completely.
Baseball.
But I think that especially my mom, to a certain extent my dad, really maintained a youthful look. Like right up until she was 80, you could tell. And even later, even north of 80, she looked very, very young for her age, always did.
When my kids were a little younger, probably before sixth grade, one of my favorite things to do is they'd come over and I would always talk to their friends because it drove my kids crazy. And if the kids were polite, they'd have to stay until I was done with the conversation. And it always involved, let me guess your age. And I'd guess spectacularly wrong. I guess they were like 22.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. And then I'd ask them their teacher. I say, "Oh, she's real mean." And then I'd say, "Would you like to guess my age?" And that was the funnest of all, mm-hmm. to have like a 6 or 7 year old try to guess how old you are.
Yeah.
Cause they'd say like, oh, 17. Not 17. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
And I think it's a thing. I will tell you that of late, I have been probably thinking about it just a little bit more. Robert Redford mentioned that this was a quote or a paraphrasing of a quote, that one of the things he hated about aging was that you have to be more careful. And that is as true as anything that I would ever say. We are, as I mentioned before, we were, doing the, the bleachers thing over the weekend. I'm up in a bleacher to get a different viewpoint. Normally I sit down right behind the backstop, but
you
I'm up in a bleacher.
You didn't bring the drone?
And I think now about going down stairs in a bleacher that I would not have given 2 seconds of thought to.
Does this go back to, it was almost a year ago this very day when you were battling the Roots? Not the band, yes. but the roots in the ground.
One of the worst.
You took a spill, right?
Not just a spill, Rob. This was if you had gotten video of this and were able to slow it down, you would have seen. I fell with such violence,
yes,
that my watch came off of my wrist.
That's pretty
I think
bad.
That's pretty. You know, when you're talking about something with a metal clasp on it, and it jars loose, and this was maybe it was even long. I think it was a year ago?
It was last year. It was football practice.
It was football practice, and I will tell you, in this absolutely unkempt. By the way, down here in Florida, I wonder if Josh will agree with me on this. Hmm. You want to go to a facility where they've said "F it" for a long time? Go to a facility that's got roots all over the place.
Yeah, you know what I'm curious. I mean? I'm curious.
That's more up north.
Because
but
Florida
we have
doesn't
it down
have
here too. Oh, we have roots.
I mean, I'm talking about, like, you don't have, like, the major oak trees and maple trees.
Yeah, but the trees we have oak trees down here, too.
Okay.
We have oak trees.
Yeah, but it's different. Up there, every park is horrible with roots.
It's
for the most
terrible.
Part, ball fields and everything are the best I've ever seen as far as public parks.
That's in your neck of the woods. That's where you live.
Nice
that's
area.
Your modern part of Florida. Down here, where Thomas Edison and Henry Ford used to live. They got
beautiful.
Roots up the ass.
They do, yeah.
They have roots up the
Edison
ass.
Edison planted
here.
Them all. Edison planted them all.
That way, I live in the oldest city in the country.
You do, but your suburban area. I saw that little entry to your community. It looks ultra modern, and I bet your facilities are ultra modern. You know, as far as I'm concerned, AstroTurf the whole lot of them. As far
it'd
as I'm
great.
Concerned,
concrete and then AstroTurf.
Pave it. Pave it. Go ahead. I will tell you that in that fall, where I was carrying a chair, of course, carry your chair. That's the American way. Carry your chair. Make sure you can put your ass down wherever you are. Carry your chair. In my hand, I had something of my son's. Could have been shoulder pads. Could have been a helmet. No. I had a drink. And I had the chair over my shoulder. So I had
and
no
the drink,
ability.
To be fair, Josh, was a tall with an umbrella.
Manhattan.
And it had an umbrella and a huge curly straw.
And it was wristwatch dislodging from my wrist. Full forward fall. I am telling you now more than ever. All right. This is going to be embarrassing, but I will share it anyway. There's a bleacher with a big, wide staircase.
Okay.
And I said, and it's got the guide posts going down to it. And I said, I'm not going to, use the handles. I am going to just go straight down. And it's nothing. It's a low angle as I'm going down. But the look on my face when I started would have been like,
yeah,
here we go. And that's sad. That's what's changed.
I think as you get older, and I've seen this. And
if I go downstairs unassisted, I give myself just a little pat on the back now.
Yeah. Do you use the handrail now as a rule?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time,
The really worst falls.
I used to jump downstairs. I used to dance downstairs.
Just like in Yankee Doodle Dandy, John.
I would be like, if we could find a video of Gene Kelly on stairs, Gene Kelly dances on stairs, or Fred Astaire dances on chairs, I will show you the way I used to handle stairs.
Yeah. Yes. The worst falls, and I've taken them, and I've seen them. The worst falls take a long time.
You see them in slow motion as you are going
down.
I'm
not going to sell out which wonderful listener of this show this happened to, but it was after, I think, our first show in New Orleans. My father and I were at a bar with some listeners, and this listener started to fall. And my father looked at me and said, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
And by the time we actually darkened the door frame to leave, he was still falling.
Have you, in your drinking days, did you ever do a spiral fall?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Have you ever done a spiral fall, Josh?
I do not believe so.
The spiral fall is, of course, when you go down like a tornado. I did that at my buddy Jimmy's funeral. It was terrible.
Here is the clip of you coming down
the stairs. This is me coming down the stairs. Take a look at this. You'll like this. All right, here we go.
There's Mike in his suit.
I'm walking in. This is, and I had gray hair, but I was much younger. See, I'm looking at my picture that I have in my home of George Washington. There I come. That's the way.
Down the stairs.
There we go. Look at that.
Just dancing.
Look at that, huh? Look at that. Rob, you picked the right clip. That's awesome. Better than mine. Fantastic. That's
Have
me.
Have you ever fallen and seen your feet silhouetted against the moon?
That might be you and not me. I don't think I ever.
There was just the most beautiful sheen of ice on my driveway, and I did not know it was there because it was nighttime. And I took out of my car and went ass over tea kettle, as they say.
Maybe this week on the bonus show, maybe we could get a collection of falls. Mm-hmm. That's the homework assignment, okay? Everybody get at least three falls or a little mashup of falls or a little vignette, a montage of falls.
Thank you.
That would be great.
There's a chunk missing of drywall in my entryway from where I tripped on a dog toy.
I bet when you go down with your height, that's got to be tough.
Well, I came down pretty hard, and my foot went right into the corner of the wall. And you know how they have like the extra mud in over the corner?
Yeah.
That stuff just shattered everywhere.
Comments, write it down.
Mud in.
One last question before we move on. I want to ask Ralph Rice, our good friend Fried.
Yeah.
A wonderful human being. Hi, Fried. Love you. Wants to know, Rob, I believe he is, but I'm not going to answer for him. Rob, are you feeling better today?
Just the same. No, I'm feeling.
Don't add to that. No. Don't add to it. You know. Okay, go ahead. Answer
the honest to God answer, if anyone is actually concerned. Talking about it on yesterday's show made me feel a lot better.
Good.
And so, today I am better. But I think it had a lot to do with wallowing a little bit of self-pity over a four-day weekend, essentially.
Yeah.
And when you come on the show.
Your anniversary sucks so bad.
Yeah, it did suck so bad. But anyway, it's better. Today is the first anniversary of not feeling so bad, the first day.
And it's the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the first day to start preparing for next anniversary.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, the most fun you'll have this football season. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can actually pay off. I've been playing Prize Picks lately, and I love how quick and simple it is. You just pick more or less on at least two player projections, and that's it. In less than a minute, you can make your lineup, sit back, and enjoy the game. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Josh Allen for more than 270 passing yards, and Barkley for more than one rushing touchdown. And you can even stack the same player up to three times in one lineup with pass yards, rush yards, and touchdowns only on Prize Picks. And if you're like me and you want to see what other people are picking, you can follow them right in the app and copy their lineups with one click. Prize Picks operates in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and all deposits and withdrawals are fast and secure. You can even use Apple Pay, Venmo, MasterCard, and more to pay. So download the Prize Picks app today and use the code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That code is TMOS for $50 in lineup after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible.
financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When we come back, we will have a little news for you, and we will also talk about a wonderful event coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to share with you, get a pencil, write this down. Naked Wines is the sponsor of today's show, Graham. Yes, it is. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the very best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code. You know it. You love it. Learn it. TMOS for the code and password at nakedwines.com. And you get $100 off your first order. That is six bottles of fantastic wine for just $39.99.
And with
the
world
today,
it's a gift.
We all need wine. We all need a little wino in us. How do they do it? The Naked people bring you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in stores. They cut out the middleman so winemakers can pass those savings on to you, the consumer, without skimping on quality. Plain and simple, the wine from Naked Wines is amazing. You've seen me drink it on the show. I like drinking it. And I opened a bottle this week. It's just the best. And every bottle is better than the last. Fantastic. They're all good.
Yeah.
And I've had family down here where we've gone through a Thanksgiving wine fest and everybody loved it. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in my code TMOS for both the code and password to get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for only $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password for six bottles for $39.99. I wanted to mention very briefly before we give you some news here that we've got a big event coming up. It's going to be our Halloween, I hate to call it a cocktail party with Rob, but we do call it a cocktail
hour. I mean,
hour.
I will have mocktails. How about that?
We have made the determination that we are going to do costumes this year. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah.
All right. I think it should be as opposed to the full-fledged costume, I think focusing on the face is really
that makes sense.
Well, yeah,
what
it's,
we ought
it's
to do.
Shoulders up, basically. Yeah.
Right, right. When is it, Josh? How is it going to work? What do we do? I always forget.
All right, so it's October 25th, so it's 10 days from now.
That's a Saturday.
From Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m. start, 7 like usual? Okay.
Yep. And we are going to play a game on this one called Fibbage, which the listeners and everyone can play along because you can set an audience of like 10,000 people can hop on and vote for their answers.
Okay.
What they think. And I brought a sample question to show you how this game works.
Fibbage. Oh, excellent. Fibbage.
Fibbage.
You know what? Fibbage sounds delicious to me.
Well,
like a nice fried plate of fibbage.
Fibbage.
It's all about fibbing.
Okay.
And what you do is we'll get a question like this on the screen.
Anatidophobia is the fear that someone in the world. All right, can I give it?
Yeah. So the way the game works is we will all write down our answers on our phones and submit it, and then afterwards we'll all have to pick what we think the real answer is. So the idea is, I want my my answer to fool you. I want you to pick my answer and not the real answer.
Okay.
Anatidophobia is a real fear.
Is there a typo in there?
No.
Somewhere in the world, a blank. Oh, okay. A blank is watching you, so it's a noun. All right.
No, the typo was in the previous copy.
So, Mike, how would you fill that blank in?
Mike, that was really good. I know you were proud. I saw you smile. So
anatidophobia. Well, I'd love to have a show without a copy error.
Yeah.
Anatidophobia is the fear that somewhere in the world, a ghost is watching you.
No. Right,
so you would enter ghost. Rob, what would you enter?
A Nazi.
All right, so when...
See, Rob went with the comedy. I went with a legitimate attempt to fool. That's the way it works.
Because you want
to
fool people and you want to be funny at the same time.
Why is that blonde man? That blonde man won't take his eye off me.
Pull Nazi? That's awesome. So,
but then the... it'll give... So then you go to a screen and it'll show...
Josh, do you have an answer?
It'll show Nazi. Well, I know the real answer.
Oh, okay.
And then it'll have the real answer because I looked it up to have you here because I knew you'd want to know it.
Are you able to share it?
Yes. Yeah. The real answer is that a duck is watching you.
Wow. That's pretty effed up.
Is it a German duck?
It's a duck or a goose.
It's a Nazi duck. That's what it is.
Mike, the worst kind.
But that's the type of game. That's an example of the game we'll play.
Nazi ducks are scary ducks.
This cocktail party, they can pick up on all the other ways they just normally watch the show, right? We'll be there.
YouTube.
Yeah, it's our Halloween cocktail. Speaking of Halloween, it's a lot of fun for kids, but forget about them. Who cares? Kids. Right? We're always focused on kids. Should adults get their own night to celebrate Halloween?
No.
No.
The term adult-a-ween is back in the news.
Kiss my ass.
We have a new name for our cocktail hour.
Adult-a-ween.
The adult-a-ween.
Yes, us for the adult-a-ween.
I'd be all for that if there was a trace of cleverness to the name. There's not. It's stupid.
But I like it's so jive, I like stealing it. So Adult-a-ween. On the 25th, so we'll Saturday that. Night, 7 p.m., the TMOS show Adult-a-ween.
Okay.
I like it because it's got ween in it. The folks at,
how many times have you said that?
Is this Jolene's company, Ferrero? Isn't she a rep for them or something? Mm-hmm. The folks at Ferrero Candies got it trending last year. A lot of people like Rob feel the same way.
Great job, Ferrero, that you got it trending. You must feel 10 feet tall.
Well, listen to this. How about this? Their new poll found that over half of adults think grown-ups should get their own night to celebrate Halloween. Well, don't they anyway?
Well,
right?
I mean, it
don't
depends.
They do it like but the Saturday every, before or after
every
Halloween?
Every bar has their thing anyway. What, do they want it on the calendar?
I think this is the infantilization of America that we love so bad. This is where, you know, you go to the football games and it's not about the game. It's about how much green paint I can put on my fat ass to get TV time. That's what it's all about.
I imagine this is an amazing subset of overlap with the people that want to move the Super Bowl to Saturday. Because they can't stand getting up on the Monday afterwards.
Here's the thing. I think that I believe this with all. I've been watching a lot of my friend who's running for Senate up in Maine, Graham. A lot of his videos talking about right and left and how we're all getting screwed. We just are angry at different things. And I believe it with all of my heart that we need to find common ground. Because this is the stuff that they're getting us to talk about and care about and think about while the guy that sits up on the hill in the ivory tower is just printing money.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're down here going, we need an adult-a-ween. We need to put out the Halloween decorations quicker. That's what we give a rat's ass about with our tiny little brains while the big brain people are making all the money.
No, the big brain people are pushing this so you'll buy their Halloween crap.
And it's also a distraction.
Oh, they
it's
love to distract.
It's a distraction for us when we're doing that. So anyway, adult-a-ween, I am with Rob Spiewak.
When you were talking
behind.
When you were talking to your political friend up in Maine, did he ask your age?
He's younger than I am. He's in his 40s.
I know.
Graham Plattner, by the way. And I'm really, really glad that the Democratic establishment in Maine decided to get 95-year-old Susan Mills, I think that's her name, Janet Mills, in the race. Way to go, Chuck Schumer.
Nice job. She does great on the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, a website called thelist.com. gathered up some famous folks who soiled their reputations in 2025, most of them for good. You can agree or disagree.
Like career-ending ones. Okay.
This guy had it bad. Anyway, that's number one. I'm going to start. Let me start at number 10 here.
Okay.
No, I'll start at number four. We have just four of them here. Carrie Underwood. Sure, she's a country singer, but she was always considered one of the ones who we could all agree on. That ended in January when she performed at President Trump's inauguration. She went full political, and the move probably cost her half her fan base. But I don't know if that's necessarily soiling the reputation beyond, because I didn't remember it. And I'm a big anti-Trumper, so I would remember.
And there were a bunch of people there. So are we going to throw Snoop Dogg on the list and everyone else that was there?
Was Snoop at Trump's inauguration?
He did the swearing in.
I think really, look, Trump's in the news every day. Right?
Yeah.
And the Trump haters like me can hate Trump every single day for something he does, or more so one of his little minions that he sends out to address Congress. But this kind of stuff, I don't know if it lingers. That's just my opinion.
Don't you have some tape of those minions that he sends?
Oh, hold on. I got to get my thing, right, Rob? Do I have to do that?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All right.
This is a great one, and I do enjoy it.
Inauguration, boy! We the people.
Hey, Minion, listen to me.
Hey, Robbie Spiewak.
Do you like Carrie Underwood?
Kenny Erdogan, how great thou art. Carrie Underwood, great legs.
Thank you, Minion.
Squeaking my chair a lot. Got to get that 3-in-1 oil on the chair.
The amazing thing is the squeak sounded so much higher when you were on the Minion filter.
Number three.
This Blake is not a stupid show, Mike, by the way.
Blake Lively. I completely agree with this one. No matter who comes out on top in the battle between her and Justin Baldoni.
Show me Blake. There she is.
The stink is all over Blake. It even appears to have ended her friendship with Taylor Swift, at least for now. Yeah, she's been, you know. But, I mean, isn't she kind of has a reputation of being a little itchy bay anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but also she has a reputation of being a non-talent. So it's fine. Done with it. Be done.
Moving right along, number two is Katy Perry. She somehow found herself the main target of criticism over the most recent Blue Origin flight. That's the space flight that the rich people go on, especially with the way she used it to shout out her daughter and announce the set list for her upcoming tour. She'd already kind of been in free fall with the critical and commercial failure of her 2024 album, 143. I don't know if I felt that was justified, but I mean, she definitely got bad press.
But everyone that flight.
Yeah, she was the easiest to spot on the flight. And don't you worry about Katy Perry, because just yesterday she was seen canoodling with famous Canadian Justin Trudeau.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to help. And number one, Jeff Bezos and his new bride, Lauren Sanchez. Their takeover.
Sanchez, Mike. It's
Sanchez.
Because of the wedding?
Venice, Italy. Their wedding wasn't received well by the locals and came off to the rest of the world as grotesque, yes, and excessive, yes. Jeff's also been falling out of favor for editorial shifts at the Washington Post and his vanity trips to space. And also, isn't he doing the whole take the shirt off, show my new body off? Isn't that what he's doing?
I think he is, yeah. You know, he should have been married.
That's when I fell out of favor, when I started showing my body. That's what happened. Yeah.
He should have not gone to Venice.
That's why the kids ask the age.
That's right. Put your shirt on, Mike.
Wow.
His next wedding will be in Venice.
In Venice?
No, Penice.
Penice?
It's a small...
Penice, Italy? It's a peninsula.
It is.
What's wrong with this? All right. If you're having your breakfast right now, please... push the meal away because I have to share something with you.
Go.
Kim Kardashian, she has not been in this news for quite some time, and I'm extremely proud of that.
Yeah.
She's got that Skims contract with the Skims panties or whatever. Kim Kardashian Skims released a line of micro string thongs. Mm. And what's special about that, you may ask?
Mike? What is
Kim Kardashian's Skims released a line of micro string thongs with something special. What's special, you may ask?
Mike, what is special?
Would you like a picture?
They have faux pubic hair.
Wow.
There are. Yes, it's faux pubes is what it's got. There are 12 to choose
from. It's a
merkin,
Mike, is what it is.
Well, I was going to wait, but there it is.
Oh.
Is it coming out the side? Is that what it is?
It looks to be it's glued all to over. The front.
Yeah. No, I think it's behind the fabric.
Oh, it's not behind.
It's not?
No.
No. And if you notice, they have lots of colors to choose from.
Sure.
Yeah, they've got 12 colors, brown, blonde, black, and red, with either curly or straight.
Yeah.
$32 each. Those aren't good examples. Those aren't real examples of the panty. They're like sketches.
You tell them, Mike.
The only black and white pictures belong in a cookbook, not in a panty description.
What are you talking about, black and white?
That's full
this
color.
This is a full color.
Oh, wait a minute. But they're very okay. But they're not. It's not like a real photograph, is it?
It is.
It is. You know what's
great? Well, we need a close up then. I can't see it that way.
All right, I'll get you a better. I'll look for a better picture.
I applaud the fact that the hair seems to match the fabric of the thong.
They have more than enough hair down there.
They do. They do.
Skims, $32 each. They're all sold out. Of course they are. And Skims says, quote, why do I have to use the voice of Gene Simmons?
It helps.
With this iconic new panty, your carpet can be whatever color you want it to be. Rod, you guys are right. It is on the outside. That is disgusting.
Hey, Gene, I have a question.
Yes.
Is it true that these thongs are held up by Velcro?
The Velcro.
Do you love Velcro?
I love Velcro. It's a wonderful product because I wear Velcro black shoes.
Didn't you just get in a car accident?
Yes, I did. I, along with Alec Baldwin, have trouble driving. Nowadays.
What about Stephen Baldwin?
Stephen Baldwin, we don't have time for him today.
Okay, maybe tomorrow.
Yes. I know what you wanted, though. Well, I'll give it to you.
Sunflower seeds!
All right, moving right along on The Dumbest Show in America, Kevin Federline has a new memoir coming out in which he makes it clear. I didn't know that he could read or write.
I know. This is exciting.
He makes it clear that he does not think Britney Spears should have been released from her conservatorship. Here's the quote. The truth is, this situation with Britney feels like it's racing towards something irreversible. It's become impossible to pretend everything's okay. Quote, from where I sit, the clock is ticking, and we're getting close to the 11th hour. Something bad is going to happen if things don't change, and my biggest fear is that our sons will be left holding the pieces. Speaking of their sons, can you believe, Kevin, those guys are now, aren't they like 18 and 19?
The kids, oh my God.
Yeah. Speaking of their sons, Kevin claims they used to be afraid to spend time with their mother because of her erratic behavior. Here's a quote. They would awaken sometimes at night to find her standing silently in the doorway, watching them sleep. And she would say, oh, you're awake. And she would have a knife in her hand.
You know, I understand his concern.
That's a Rob move.
No. I would leave the knife down at my desk. But
what's a Rob move? Like throwing her under the bus?
No, waking kids up with a knife in the hand.
Yeah, Josh thinks I'm preoccupied with sharp things.
Really? That's scary.
I think that it's been about 15 years that we've all had this same concern about Brittany. What is he promoting that he's... Oh, the book. That's
he's got
what
a book.
It is.
It's the book. He's got a book.
That's and, what it is. That's why it's coming up.
Sean
Here
Preston.
He is with his kids.
All right. There they are. And yeah, Sean Preston and Jaden James are now 20 and 19. So, I mean, if she was going to, well, would they be, they might not even be in the house anymore. So I don't know what they're
I would hope
screaming
not.
To. Yeah. But I guess he's talking about maybe she's going to do some harm or something like that to herself.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
You know, she's, I just think leave her alone. Leave Britney alone. All right.
Leave her alone right now.
Leave Britney alone right now. Finally today.
Chris Crocker, Mike, was the man who did that.
Thank you. A bear surprised shoppers at a Southern Arizona grocery store. They gave me everything but the town. They just said Southern Arizona. When it walked through the front door and ran around inside for a few minutes before exiting the building. Over the weekend, the bear was seen in the neighborhood near Fry's grocery store and was spotted again Monday behind the store before entering it. Right before entering the store, the animal bumped up against the automatic doors.
He's a good boy.
Bears make me laugh.
He's a good boy.
And managed to eventually walk in and run around the store. A video taken by a shopper showed a man looking for the bear inside the store. After peering down at his phone, the man looked up and found the bear within several feet of him. Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. The bear then ran away from the man. Southern Arizona now bracing for another severe honey shortage. There you go.
That's Mike, they really couldn't give the bear any trouble because he was a Fry's VIP member.
Yes.
And he had the card. And,
right.
You know.
And, of course, after the bear left the store, it ran immediately to the woods where it took a dump.
Settles that.
Yeah. Yes, does a bear? Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back with something we always do. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. And don't forget, mark that date on your calendar, October 25th, for our Adult-a-ween Cocktacular.
Isn't it? I don't remember that name.
Stop the show with that, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
But first, this episode is powered by Incogni, your personal data. You're worried about that, aren't you? Well, you should be. Incogni is your data's bodyguard. Data brokers scoop up your info. They get names. They get addresses. They get social security numbers. So all these asses out there can pester you constantly.
Yes.
They sell it. They sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing every day. Your inbox is a mess. Identity theft is always lurking, some worse than others. Data breaches jumped 72% in 2023 from the previous year. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers. They keep monitoring, and they push back when brokers resist. You stay off their list, period. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Here's the bottom line. If your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's INCOGNI.com/TMOS.
It really works. It's crazy how fast the calls stop coming into me.
Now, you have for the better part of 3 months now been wanting to talk about a trash can scam that you have wanted to get on the show. Now, is this scam something you are the victim of, or is this something you are perpetrating?
I figured it out. And here's the thing. It's absolutely legal. I was talking to Josh a few weeks ago, and we were bemoaning, and we got around to it, how expensive it is if you have to replace a big trash can. Like, they call them a toter.
Minimum 90 bucks.
Yeah, with the wheels and everything.
For
outdoor
trash cans.
And if you go up to, like, a 96-gallon one, it's well into the $100 mark. And that's a lot of money for a trash can.
Yeah, that is, for plastic. Right.
And I've got a couple of them that I've had for since I moved here, and the top is a little cracked, and they smell because, you know, they've been containing trash.
You know what I lost on mine? I lost the metal bar that goes in between the two little jutting out.
How do you lose that?
I didn't lose it. It broke off. So obviously it's in the back of some trash truck. But they're still taking the trash. So
this scam is for you then.
Okay.
Because I went to our trash collection website for our development, and I was going to set up a big pickup because it was a television, and you have to call ahead if they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one of the bullets, frequently asked questions, need a new trash can? I said, what? And I clicked on it, and it said, if you would like to update your can to a 96-gallon toter.
Hold it. Say it again. Say it again. What did you say? What?
If you'd like to update your trash can to the 96-gallon toter, which is the biggest trash can they have, just call us and we'll plan an exchange. So I called them and I said, I would like to replace my two trash cans with two 96-gallon
toters.
Now,
is it like a lot of neighborhood where one's for the recycling and one's for the trash?
Recycling's different. These are both trash cans. I've got a recycling bin too. Yeah, yeah.
You have two big ones?
Yeah. Well, we only get pickup once a week too.
We only get pickup once a week. We only have one.
Yeah, we get once a week. We get
one trash and one recycling.
I have a massive carbon footprint.
Do you? You don't recycle?
No, we do. We do.
Okay.
But we just have a lot of stuff.
All right.
So I called this nice lady, and she says, "All right, what's your address?" And I gave it to her, and she said, "Leave your old trash cans out on Friday. Put them out Thursday night." And I did. And I got up on Friday morning, and there were two brand new trash cans, free of charge, waiting for me at my driveway.
So if you have, he is, Josh. This is a man who loves suburbia more than anything in the world.
I'd be happy with a free trash can too, because I think everybody would purchasing it. And I know mine's not big enough. It could be a little bigger, but I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So call your company and say, hey.
No, I just Googled it. It says trash cans must be purchased by their residents.
Oh, so that sucks.
But I understand why the reason they're giving them away is because they want the trash cans that the big truck arms can just pick up.
Exactly.
So it's to save them from employees.
Now, I will do the same. Who is your company, Rob? Do you know the name of your company?
I access them through the Leesburg city building.
Yeah,
I
it just should be done through the county. Yeah,
there's a phone number for Leesburg on the side of my trash can, and I nailed it. Yeah.
Do you ever pause and think that life has passed you by when the idea of getting a new trash can excites you?
I don't even pause. I don't even pause. I just roll with it, like the toter. I roll with it.
I feel pathetic sharing your enthusiasm, which I do. That I will be.
This is not a good thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am not lying. I am not making this something it isn't. At the end of the show, I will sit in this studio and I will go to whatever website I need to go to find out
there
if I'm able to do the same thing, because I have lost the bar on mine, even though they take it every day. They
and
got
you know
the claw
what?
That grabs it. It doesn't.
They took your bar. They're at fault if they give
they
you any guff
fault.
At all.
I never found it sitting on the side of the road.
Go and see if there's a phone number on your toter,
That's
Mike.
The lid. I have to go down the street and find the lid sometimes. And that's what irritates me.
Does it make
me it's not even connected anymore?
It is, but it'll pop off when they do their thing, and they don't care.
Does it make me a bad person when I drive in, like, at maybe 6 o'clock where I'm coming in from, or 7 o'clock, and I look, and all the barrels have been taken in, and I just say under my breath, like, why don't you all die?
Yeah, right,
because mine are sitting there I have a bit of a life, and
I wonder if there were two other people in your house that could help with that.
No. Now you're going to piss her off again because she's slaying the dragon all week. She's balls to the wall.
She's fantastic. She called me last night. She is so sweet.
When did she call you? I didn't know she called you.
At about like an hour after the show, because what we had talked about during the show about my moods and all that. And she said, I just want to let you know, snap out of it. Don't be such a baby.
Did she say that?
No.
What did she? Well, I don't know. Did she really call?
She really did call and offered some very nice words and some encouragement. I thought
it was
really sweet.
Nice. Something happened to Soroka up there in St. Augustine. It's one of those.
Did I drop out?
Let me ask this question. Have you guys been experiencing some weird gribblies with your connectivity? I have. Things have been odd.
I had a weird evening last night. Yeah.
Okay. So I think recently everybody's been having a little glitchy witchy with that. Did she offer you any drugs, Rob?
No, but she talked about the importance of choosing the right one and what they should do for you.
She's pretty good at it, actually. She got me in the right direction.
She told me that she's been through a lot. And and this is sometimes the greatest thing to hear. If you want to talk to somebody, call me. And that's so great.
She tweaked my medications about 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And I get in less than one fight a month now. So that's
really
I'm pretty happy with it.
I was sick of our old fight, so I called the trash collecting service, and on Friday they're bringing me a new fight.
There you go.
Free of charge.
Appreciate that. Hey, the Baltimoreans, there's a movie out there that Mr. Soroka is all aware of, and he's going to share all the deets. I hate that word.
Hot
for details.
The 411?
The Baltimoreans. I mean, could it be any more special? I'll watch it. I want to find out all about it. Josh has the info for us when we return. I want to let everybody know that you all have heard about the incredible weight loss people have experienced with peptides. Mm-hmm. With these prescription medications, people have lost incredible amounts of weight. I personally lost 80 pounds with these medications. I took my shot. Tuesday is shot day. Here's the great part. You can do it, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home just by going to DermGlow Skin.
Have you ever done your shot, like, in the car?
Never had the pleasure of doing it in the car. Probably not a great idea to do it in the car.
I've seen my dad do shots in the car. I think you should try it. It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
While the car's moving or stationary?
Yeah, and he's got a stick shift.
You can choose your peptide, go to the website, click the weight loss button, take a quiz. The doctor will approve your prescription. It'll be delivered to your front door. It's that easy. At DermGlow, they know that these amazing products are not cheap. That's why they have three great payment plans, and they accept HSA and FSA. Don't miss out on huge discounts on select medications through the end of the year. Now is the time to stop the food noise and feel like yourself again with DermGlowSkin.com. Folks, it's the truth. You only have one life. You deserve to make it the best. You owe it to yourself to visit DermGlowSkin.com. And for people who say, oh, I don't want to go on those things, tell them to F off.
I don't handle opinion. That kind of thing.
I don't do that. I don't arrange that kind of thing.
Say thank you.
I'm happy being fat. So there you go. This is the dumbest show in the world, I swear to God. All right, Josh, I know nothing about it. Tell me all about the Baltimoreans.
Hollywood, Mike. This is a Hollywood
story.
This
is exciting to me.
It's a new one of these independent movies or whatever. It just came out, I guess, a few months ago. It's a Christmas theme.
You're jacked about this movie, aren't you?
Well, no. I'm telling you, multiple listeners have sent me this movie and saying you need to watch this because I guess it did a small theater release and people went and saw it.
I have to ask, Josh, as someone who grew up, you know, a Baltimore person and you love your Baltimore teams, what does Baltimore Christmas say to you? Because I know every city has their sort of Christmas tree. Like Washington, D.C. has the national Christmas tree. Right. Lovely. Yes.
Well, Baltimore has 34th Street, and that is shown off in this movie. And what's neat about this movie is it's like a rom-com, dark comedy, but it's a romantic comedy.
I like it already so far. Yeah. Do you have a trailer by any chance?
I do have the trailer ready for you. And what's the best part about this movie is it's a great story, but it's also clearly a love letter to the city of Baltimore.
I like
with
that.
How they shoot it and all, because Baltimore's a different type of city.
It is.
And here is the trailer.
Come on. Stop that now.
Are you a dentist?
I am.
Do you need this?
Hang on to it, will you? So what happened?
Well.
Merry Christmas. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. What's the needle situation?
The situation is that we use needles. Open your mouth. Hello. What's going on?
This morning, Dad got married.
So they're doing their reception.
Tonight. I know Christmas Eve is your favorite.
It's good. It's okay.
I love you, Mom. I'll see you tomorrow.
Merry Christmas. I love you. Oh, my God.
I'm taking a dinner, and I'm not taking no for an answer.
No.
Come on.
Yeah.
I overheard you talking to your daughter, and I know you don't have plans. Let's go.
Now!
Yes! Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba! Charge!
You married?
I like it.
I was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did he kill himself?
Why would you say that?
It was a dumb joke.
Is that what you do?
Comedy. Used to do it, and something messed up happened, and I don't do it anymore.
This is really odd, but my entire family is two blocks that way.
Let's crash a party.
Yeah?
Hell yeah.
Hello? Mom? What are you doing?
Hi, everybody. Cliff Cashin. Really, really thrilled to be here. Your mom's pretty awesome. We've been having the most amazing day together.
Me lady.
I can get out of the car on my own.
That's enough. I think I don't like to watch trailers to the end. It's my little thing.
Question.
That is really, it's homemade looking, and it has a John Waters vibe-ish to it, right? And it looks kind of sweet, and I'll tell you, even in that trailer, all that matters, in my opinion, in movies like that is to have concern for the characters. I already do by even watching the trailer. I like them both.
You do. You end up loving both characters. And it's got lots of references and cinematography shots that shows you the guy is from Baltimore who created it.
I love when they do a love letter to a city. It's fun to see like Washington, D.C. in a movie from the 50s because you see how it was and it's captured. But where are the accents here?
The thing is, though, you want the stereotypical.
Well,
and you can't get that all the time.
Sometimes,
you know?
Just a little might be nice. No, maybe one character.
I think that's fine to, you know, like there's so many movies. When you think about how many movies there are, there's Diner, there's Avalon, there's Tin Men. And Danny DeVito, I think, did one of the greatest Baltimore accents ever when he did that movie with Richard Dreyfuss. No, I'm glad that it didn't have
distract.
That. It made it more believable because everybody in Baltimore doesn't talk like
that's
that.
That's why I'm saying just give like one character. Well, slight
you.
Baltimore
you just
accident.
Don't let it go. But, you want, yeah.
But they have some stereotypical Baltimore people.
Okay.
I think the new, it's set up in that trailer that they're going to her ex's, a party at her ex's house.
Right.
How many Natty Bows do you give it?
Out of a possible 10, 10 being the best.
If 10's the best, I give it an 8 or 9. Loved it. And Kelly enjoyed it. My parents enjoyed it. It's got a 92% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. And it was like $6 or $7 to rent on Apple TV.
Apple TV? All right. That's where you can get it. So check out the...
look for the cameo, Mike.
Let me go through them. Okay. Hairspray, Tin Men, Diner, Avalon... there are more. There are a lot of movies about Baltimore as a background. You know, there really, really are. But, I love Baltimore movies. I really do. They're always good. They always seem to be fun. They really do.
If you like the town, if you know people from the town, you'll enjoy it.
And look for the cameo from Polak Johnny.
It's
about 40 minutes into it.
He can't get away from it. He can't go. You have a complicated relationship with the entire state of Maryland. You believe
not that complicated
because he's a Virginia guy. Virginia guys are so bitter about Maryland.
Absolutely, even though Maryland is superior to Virginia in every way.
Why are you trying to trigger me? When I lived in both.
Annapolis is one of the best areas to live in the world.
Northern Virginia people like to think that all of Maryland is Dundalk, and they like to think the rest of Virginia is not Virginia.
Right. Bingo. And I'm an outsider, and I lived in both areas. And I will tell you that when you talk about...
Be fair, Mike, Laurel is not Baltimore.
Laurel was meh. Laurel was simply a financial decision.
Okay. And you know what? I'll give you Laurel because you have to give me Fredericksburg. Okay, so they cancel each other out.
But Fredericksburg's okay.
Laurel is okay.
Like, you are what you are is a Northern Virginian. And Northern Virginia means new. I want the new shopping center.
It means
everything has to be where it has to be. That's the way it is.
Suburbs, but everything close to me.
Absolutely, and zero character. Name me one part of Northern Virginia that has character outside of like the really close town. Go ahead.
I was going to say Monroe Mansion in downtown Leesburg. All of Old Town Leesburg is beautiful, and it looks like it did.
All like 2.5 blocks of it.
I don't understand why I'm being targeted.
You're not being... Stop being defensive and try to be funny, okay? We're having a funny discussion. It's really not serious.
I was talking to a guy this week that I did a little project for. He came by... Tommy came by to pick up this album that I digitized for him. And he was talking, and we went back and forth, and finally just said, yeah, it's just so Maryland. And he is a Falls Church guy, and we were
Let's redirect it.
I bet that Rob thinks Virginia Beach is much nicer than Ocean City when they're both trash towns.
No, I don't. Actually, I have no beach opinion at all.
All right, go ahead. We've given I've given my thoughts on Northern Virginia.
Right.
You share your distaste for Maryland, which I know you've harbored for a long time.
Maryland is a great town to drive through.
A great state
to drive through. Yeah, Mike, you caught me in an error.
Okay.
But I think I can still resave the argument.
All right.
It's a great state to drive through. I mean, there's so many things around it. You can see a baseball game there. I wouldn't advise staying the evening. I drove there to see Paul McCartney. It's worth the drive if there's something to see there. They have an entire clock used to advertise a stomach medicine, the Bromo Seltzer clock. This is a beautiful thing.
He's mocking Baltimore.
No, take pride in your sugar factory. It's right there in the middle of the town.
He also believes the entire state is one city.
That's it.
Baltimore. You can't get. Have you spent any time at all in Annapolis, Maryland?
Yes.
And?
I tried to get out the minute I got there, and they wouldn't let me.
Okay.
They locked me up. Locked my ass up.
He doesn't like it, as always been.
Check out the
and
movie.
Folks, for those of you around the country, that's a little rivalry that exists between really Northern Virginia and the D.C. and suburbs of Baltimore.
I don't think Maryland cares.
I think deep down, I don't even care. I don't know why I have this animosity towards it.
I have heard you bitch about Maryland for a million years.
I know, and I don't
know
why.
You're not off the hook.
I think it's also the flag. Some jealousy there.
Okay, you'll have to excuse the phrase. It's a flag.
I will be honest with you. I lived in both areas.
Yeah.
If I had stayed and was able to stay due to commuting problems in Maryland, I might still be there. In Northern Virginia, I could not get the hell out soon enough. Anyway.
And we miss you, Mike.
That's good. Yeah, we missed you. The most magical holiday treat is coming, everyone. Everyone wants the TMOS Family Cookbook, and here's your chance to get yours. Are you hungry for food? Who's not? Hungry for fun?
Fun!
The Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook is your ticket to edible excellence with amazing recipes only available from us. Jimmy's Wings, Mama O'Mara's Brownies,
yum.
Rob's Fruitcake. We've got great stuff. Tiramisu from Maddie Masiello. And wait for it, meat beans.
They're going to change your life.
That's from Josh, right?
Meat beans? No, that's from me.
That's from Rob.
It's a Northern Virginia recipe.
Now there beans. There is rice and beans from my brother.
Oh,
but that's vegan, right?
He is the only one who submitted a note at an asterisk at the bottom that I had to include in his meal, where he says, "Well, if you buy this rice at Costco and grow your own vegetables, it's less than 50 cents a serving."
God, he's cheap.
Way to go. Yes. Way to go, Mr. Soroka. Meat beans. Can't wait. I'll make them. Plus, dozens more. All the best. All for you. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays. And you can pre-order now at MikeOMaraShow.com. Be part of TMOS history. Feed the show. Feed the fans. Feed the family. The TMOS Family Cookbook. Order now. Order often. And please order in multiples of 5.
Oh, that's smart.
How you keep the show going. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take it away.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Oh, Mike, it's the top of the hour helicopter stager.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, everybody?
All hit 105 WAVA.
All hit WAVA.
We've been closing with AI lately. I want to open with one because this is not produced as slickly as the others, but I find it very funny because the magic of these AIs, and we've seen Elvis and we've seen John F. Kennedy, we've seen a lot of famous people, it's putting them in situations where they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Now, this is the late Bob Barker on The Price is Right giving away a time portal gun, which, as we know, does not really exist because it's science fiction, but let's see how it might go.
All right, folks, let's see the next item up for bid. It's a functional portal gun. Now watch this, folks. This is where the fun begins. A little squeeze gives us a blue portal right here and an orange one over there. Now they're connected. Now you just point it where you want the doorway. Watch this. Lisa, would you do the honors? How about that? Bob Barker reminding you, help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
All right, now, what's going on? Please share. What the hell was that all about?
There's a science fiction notion of a time portal where you can make a hole and go through it.
It's from a video game called Portal, where you have a gun and you shoot the gun in one spot and it's orange and one spot and it's blue and you can transport from one circle to the other.
Without even knowing about the video game, I still found it very funny.
I'm so confused.
You mustn't be.
Wasn't Bob Barker, and that's not a real thing.
It's an AI thing that was just manufactured.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Bruins rules. I do miss Manassas every day.
You're not helping Bruins. Stay out of this. Mike, is there anything worse than a long line?
There's nothing. I am so very much opposed to a line of any kind, to stand in it, it has to be a supreme reward or an absolute necessity. If I was in Russia and I had to take a dump, I would stand in line for toilet paper if I had to.
okay, there's nothing worse than a line, but is there anything better than a department store that offers great prices and lots of merchandise, like Marshall's?
Okay.
Right? Marshall's will sell anything, clothes, even kitchenware, like knives.
I'm going to leave you shaking your head. A woman from New Jersey is accused of stabbing another woman in the parking lot of a Marshall's. Investigators say the two women had a disagreement in the checkout line. They claim the suspect then purchased a knife at the store and stabbed the woman. New Jersey reporter Tony Yates is live outside the Marshalls in Kearney with the details. Tony.
Kearney, New Jersey.
You know what's great is that so many times they say this murder was not premeditated.
Yeah.
But this woman bought a knife and then stabbed her.
God, unbelievable.
Yeah, Liz, you know, the suspect has a detention hearing set for Thursday. And like you said, this wasn't even two shoppers having a tussle over an item that was for sale. As you said, it sounded like one person simply ran out of patience. And people we spoke to today say, sadly, that has become way too common.
Yep.
And
how
it's
did she
not
unbox it? Like while walking, arguing with the lady?
Probably. The thing that troubles me is she said, it's not them tussling overnight. Like, that would be okay. We've accepted that.
Yeah, like during Black Friday sales and all of
like
that.
Like a jingle all the way.
Oh,
like
my
a turbo
God.
Man.
What's so great, though, man. Is that that happened in neither Virginia nor Maryland. So we're both clean.
We can probably all agree on New Jersey.
Yeah. We can all agree on Luke Bryan, Mike. They set him up. You know, he's got sort of a competition with Blake Shelton, who's also a very popular redneck singer. And they set him up by with this fan meet and greet.
Fans who are waiting to say hi to Luke. They're just cheering over there. I think they said, Blake, we love you.
Yeah, somebody played a joke.
Blake, we love you.
They said Blake. Kiss my
what a doofus.
That was funny, though. That was funny that he said that. I like that. That's good.
It would have been funny if he had said it right away and not thought about it for what appeared to be several minutes.
There's nothing he can do that would please you.
Yeah, there is one thing. He could shave that neck beard. Just trim, baby. Your whole face looks like one of those new thongs. It's bad, right?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Mike?
Yes. Yeah.
It's spooky season.
It is. It's Halloween.
So you definitely want to get down and try to break the Guinness World Record for the world's biggest pumpkin.
Oh, this guy. Take a look at this.
I was in this position last year, but I lost by 6 pounds. This year was able to take the win. And that's really what the goal was this year, was to win one of the best, if not the best, pumpkin weigh-offs in the world.
That's disgusting. Look at that.
Looks
that
like
pumpkin.
A big scrote.
Exactly. I've grown a huge scrote for Halloween.
Scrote for Halloween.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't appreciate it. Although I did find out that the winner gets $9 a pound.
Yeah.
So for a 1,000-pound pumpkin, that's quite a bit of cash.
That is a serious windfall. But, you know, anybody that's got one like it's a pound short, you just got to bring it back in your truck.
I would leave it. I would so leave it there. You deal with it.
Can
you deal with my scrote.
The pies that it'll make for you?
That looked more like a cooking pumpkin than a carving pumpkin.
Yeah.
They said, Blake, I love you.
If you.
So like,
you.
Let's leave with this. We talked about Bill Murray, I believe, yesterday or the day before, being a jerk on the set of one of
his
movies.
There were a number of Hollywood luminaries that have very bad reputations with fellow cast members, and Bill Murray was on that list.
Although in this, he seems quite charming. Many people will call this man Hootie, but his name is Darius Rucker. He used to be the lead singer for Hootie and the Blowfish, and now he's a very popular country star. And quite a golfer. And they asked Bill Murray and Darius together, who's the better golfer?
You're pretty good, but I'm okay.
Well, he used to be an exciting golfer.
Yes.
That's a term we use.
That's a good word.
He used to be a really exciting golfer. But he's played a lot of golf because he's a professional musician.
Yes.
He's gotten to really play. And I couldn't believe it when I played with him at a place where formerly I spent a lot of time taking burrs and ticks out of my body looking for his ball. But suddenly he shot like 75.
About 75 that day, yeah. Yeah.
So he's a better golfer right now, but I want you to know I shot 75 at the old course last Sunday.
No way.
Yeah.
That's playing your ball right there. I'm ready. Me and you. Let's do this.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's play.
Wow.
It. You like it wet, don't you?
I ain't playing out there.
Well, I know, that's why I want to play it now while it's wet.
It was a rain delay that they were able to do that, and they would not play in the rain.
That's good golf. If both of them are shooting 75, you can't argue with that.
I like the mutual respect there. I thought it was nice.
And to be honest with you, I probably could be the third in that threesome. There you go. That's my self-important little comment at the end of the show.
I will tell him as much.
All right. Yeah.
All right, and Mr. 75.
And I'll wear my Kim Kardashian thong with the fake pubes. That's it. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. We will return tomorrow with a brand new episode for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara saying, don't forget, October 25th, Adult-a-ween cocktail hour, ladies and gentlemen. 7 p.m. Saturday night. Mark it on your calendar. We will see you there, and we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode. So long, everybody.
It's actually a cocktacular.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modem.
So what do you want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?